Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Genesis 43, verses 16 to the end, and Hebrews 1. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz entitled, Christ is Above and Beyond.
From Genesis chapter 43 and starting on verse 16 then.
When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, bring the men into the house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon. The man did as Joseph said and brought the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, is it because of the money replaced in our sacks the first time that we have been brought in so that he may have the opportunity to fall upon us, to make slaves of us and to take our donkeys? So they went up to the steward of Joseph's house and spoke with him at the entrance to the house. They said, oh, my Lord, we came down the first time to buy food. And when we came back to the lodging place, we opened our sacks and there was each one's money in the top of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back with us. Moreover, we have brought down with us an additional money to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. He replied, rest assured, do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father must have put the treasure in the sacks for you. I received your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. When the steward had brought the men into Joseph's house and given them water and had washed their feet, and when they had given their donkeys fodder, they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they had heard that they would dine there. When Joseph came home, they brought him the present that they had carried into the house and bowed to the ground before him. He inquired about their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? They said, your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive. And they bowed their head and did obeisance. Then he looked up and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son. With that, Joseph hurried out because he was overcome with affection for his brother and he was about to weep. So he went into a private room and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And controlling him, he said, serve the meal. They served him by himself and them by themselves and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that was an abomination to the Egyptians. When they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth, the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And then our New Testament reading is taking from the letter to the Hebrews. Thank you, Chris, for reading that.
Okay. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, He makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. But of the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is for ever and ever, and the righteous sceptre is the sceptre of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up, and like clothing, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels spirits in the divine service, sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?
Thank you so very much, Chris. So yes, do bring your own thoughts to those passage, a well-known passage, Hebrew first chapter of that letter. It looks like Paul might have written this letter, but there is some debates among scholars for that. But anyway, this is about one of those letters that speaks of the identity of Christ, and the central figure he is in salvation and for salvation, and the place of the law and all the traditions that the Jews have, and how Christ bring that to a conclusion, not an end, but to a fulfillment, that Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and that he was born under the law, and that he rescue us from a very strong term, the curse of the law, because we've been exploring that in the book of the letter to the Galatians, that the law had various functions, functions to preserve the Israelites from the reality of our hearts that is deceitful and that always take us into chaos and the danger of destructions. And the law was there to help that nation to, in a sense, be, the word's not better, but to be a light, to be different, and to show when we do live in trust and in obedience to God, that it does bring life and flourishment. They haven't always succeeded, and actually they didn't succeed very well. The first, the North Kingdom was taken because of disobedience, and then the South Kingdom. But there were preserves through the law for the coming of Jesus. So the law had that function of preserving and ensuring that the promises of God would come about, that from the Jews would come the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer, the Rescuer. But also it is kind of what I said, it's kind of a CT scanner. It shows the fact that we can't live the life we are called to be and to live. It shows the reality of sin and its power. And so it also brings, it's not only shows like a CT scanner the problems, it also opens our eyes that we can't save ourselves. And it brings us to Christ, who is the one who died for us under the law, who takes on himself the punishment, the consequences of our rebellion, and not just individual rebellion, but humanity, the reality of humanity. And so this first chapter is all about that uniqueness, that Christ is above and beyond, is one of a kind. And that's difficult when we speak, because people think, well, who are you to claim that? You know, it's a bit arrogant to say there is only one way. But we say it in humility, because it's not something we come up with. It's something that was declared, something that's clear through Jesus' ministry. And the identity was clear through actually his condemnation. The Jewish leader says it's because you make yourself God that we are condemning you. It was blasphemy that for them put him on the cross. and it was the danger for Romans of disunity and conflicts that condemned him. So for me, I want to remind myself in the reality of this weekend of conflicts that there is one that is above, and that is Christ. And we are called to come to him in humility to pray for this world. But we are not to be anxious. We know Jesus had said that there will be wars, that there will be famine, that there will be conflict. And that is not to deny its impact and its great sadness, but to lift our voices in hope and in prayer for our brothers and sisters in those places of conflict, whether they are in the military, and I'm thinking of all the chaplains at the moment in the military services, but also all the Christians, and in both sides. I think we forget that Iran has a very strong Christian community and very ancient Christian community. And so we should pray for the churches, the leaders there, for their ministry, that they will be their light in a time of great darkness, and pray for all sides in the best way we can. So that's my kind of reflection on Hebrew, but there might be something on Genesis for you or something that sprang from the reading. So over to you, Lynn, Chris, or Jackie.
I'm looking for me to get the gentleman from there.
They're
still busy with prayer.
Yes,
hi, good to see you back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. And also, I enjoyed being part of the prodigal.
The
prodigal son. So
thank you for your thoughts. Yeah. I think all of us listening to the news are concerned, and for Israel and America, because America in the Middle East is considered a Christian country, and neither nations are being very light at the moment. So I think we should pray for them. And I would like to say too that Terry has been in America and he's had to talk in different meetings and board meetings and also church meetings about the Middle East. So I want to say yes, and to that Christ is the light of the world, but the nations that are supposed to be lights are involved in all these conflicts. And also, I want to, the Sat-7 has a Iranian Persian satellite program as well for the Christians in Iran. And Terry, yesterday he came to the UK, and today and tomorrow, the 2nd and 3rd of March, he has meetings with the PAS team in London. And they have an Iranian fellowship there, church, an Iranian church is in meets in London. And Terry will be meeting with them today and tomorrow. And please pray that he will encourage them, as of course they're very upset about everything that's happening in the Middle East and Iran at the moment. And they are, of course, in the diaspora. And there's also in the Sat-7 office in Nicosia, they have one floor in their building, which is the Persian channel. which is called Path. And so when Terry is there, he's very involved with encouraging them, and just pray that the Holy Spirit will give him the right words to say and the right message to share as he meets with them today and tomorrow. And their path. They have their office there and a studio where they make programs and pray for the programs that are being recorded at the moment, that they will really be able to shine out with light and the word of God in this situation.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie. It's a great privilege to have such a personal link to those realities and to be able to bring those to God in a very personal, and to pray for Terry and all his meetings and the people he meets, and his Iranian friend in London and the channel will do that. So I invite you then to pray for what Jackie has shared, for what's on our hearts. In light of those readings, I think in the first reading is all about being in a place of vulnerability, that was the brothers, and being in a place of power, and how miscommunication in all this text speaks about. You know, they had found this the money back in their bags, and they came with real fear because they were the vulnerable there in that story. And and Joseph was the figure of power who literally had the power of life and death on in his hand. So let's also pray in all those realities that we live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with the knowledge that where two or three are gathered, even if it's online, you are among us. And Lord, we start, although it might feel strange to start, with gratitude and thanksgiving and praise. Often in times of darkness and conflict, it reminds us that you are the sovereign God.
Amen.
It reminds us that you are the Word who will never forget.
Yes, Lord.
Reminds that you are the light who shines in the darkness. And that through the life of Jesus, and that a phrase that comes in the Gospel, "My time has not yet come," we believe that we have times and that they are realities that we do not see, that are part of your sovereign plan that we can trust in.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.